Hey guys, thanks for listening. This is Dark Temp 66, aka Joe. Just want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast. Hope you all are doing fantastic. This episode, we're kind of talking about the new patch, some changes to Arena, just honestly a bunch of random shit. If you like the podcast, make sure to hit the subscribe button in your podcast engine of choice. Also, check out our website, thebarkeepsofredania.com. We also have a YouTube channel if you want to see video as well, because we do transcribe this in video and we do it live on my Twitch channel. So thanks guys again for listening. And without further ado, this is Random Shit. Welcome to the podcast. This is Dark Temp 66, aka Joe. We got some new faces in the podcast, as you might see. If you can't see because you're listening on a phone or in your car, then what I just said is completely pointless. But if you're actually watching on YouTube or whatever, we got a couple new people that are going to introduce. We'll start off with Sound of Snow. Tell us about yourself, what you like to do. Do you like long walks on the beach? Do you prefer ketchup on your fries or mustard?
Okay.
Either one is the wrong answer, by the way. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't like putting anything on my fries. I like dipping my fries. Thank you. That's the right answer to that question. I do not particularly like long walks on the beach just because I'm not a fan of the beach, but that's just me. I am a classic nerd who stays inside all day. No outside for me. But yes, I am Sound of Snow. I started the game just over a year ago, give or take, so I'm not new, I'm not that experienced either. Well, at least by my terms, everybody else will probably say otherwise, but, last season I made the top 200, so I mean, I guess there's that.
Yeah, what's your faction of choice if you had to pick one?
Can I pick two?
Yeah, sure.
Because if I can pick two, it's easy. It's Syndicate and it's Squirtle. If I have to pick one, I think I have to go Syndicate.
That's refreshing, because I thought you were going to say Skellige, and then I was just going to kick you from the...
Okay. Oh, no.
Nobody can claim Skellige. I'm sorry.
Nobody says Skellige in their right mind if they survive Master Mirror.
Yeah.
Period.
You're talking to me? What are you talking about?
Very good. So we're going to also introduce, if I say it right, Poizesto. Am I saying that right?
Poizesto, yeah.
All right, tell us about yourself, buddy.
So recently got into Gwent. I played in the open beta. And then when the game came out on Android, I just came back to the game. And funnily enough, I had like a bunch of rewards from when I played in open beta and stuff. So I was just like crafting cards, getting back in the swing of things. And then funnily enough, I just started looking up, like, cause I'm a big Twitch guy. So I went to the Twitch directory. So there was a bunch of streamers, started like checking it out, and I found Qcento. Then I found the podcast. Now I'm actually in the podcast, which is pretty hype.
Yeah. You made it.
It's pretty hype.
Circle of life.
Mom, I made it. I made it in life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's a funny story because it's exactly the same story of mine. I played in the beta and I stopped playing for some reason. And I was like laying on the couch one day and saw that it was on Android. Then came back and I was like, holy shit, I have a lot of scrap and ore. And then making decks, not knowing what I was doing. That's crazy.
You lucky people who came back from out of nowhere to get 20,000 scraps to start making cards.
It was funny because I started streaming and people would come in and be like, why do you have so much currency? And I'm like, I'm coming back from beta, you know? So that's cool. So welcome guys to the podcast. Yeah. So the name of this topic is going to be random shit, but it's not going to be random shit. So we just had a new patch that came out, right? So what did the patch introduce? I'm so
I wasn't playing at work, in case there's some of my coworkers watching. But I only really got to play at work, and I'm really interested on the arena thing, but we can kind of table that for the side right now. But what are you guys most interested about with the new patch?
I mean, we have to talk about the fact that literally we just left a journey and now we're going right into another one. Like, that's huge. They've never done that before where they've given us back-to-back journeys within a matter of days. And the fact that nobody could really guess who it was for. It wasn't going to be your traditional Yen or Triss. Instead, they decided to go with Alzer. And some of the cosmetics that the Journey Pass is delivering are actually really good. Like, he has his own little animation, just like how Siri had, where she would teleport across the screen, or dash. And his, I think, is like some kind of cross image, I think, when he plays your leader ability. It's kind of really, it's really neat. They didn't, like, cheap it out, you know? They actually put some design into it.
I don't really understand why they were releasing stuff without Journeys. I think Journey, I would think, is probably one of their big money grabbers. And we've talked about before, I think it is an absolute no-brainer to buy into Journey, at least at the $10. I think the $10 is pretty much it, right? But, like, what better value can you get? Especially if you're going to play the game a lot.
I dropped the $30 at, like, 6 in the morning.
You were everything that was wrong level with gaming.
30, I was level 30 by, like, 7:30 in the morning. It was bad.
Pay to win, fam. Pay to win.
Yeah, it never used to be like that. I had to grind my way into pro the first couple times just, you know, with those 8 to 10 scraps per game with a GG. And now you can just buy them.
Yeah, I really liked it. This is the first one I picked up. I didn't actually buy the Siri one because I was coming back into the game, so I wasn't like... I knew it was a good value, but because I didn't think I would play as much, and because I joined near the end of the season, I didn't buy it. But because I'm playing right at the start, this is just... You get like 30 like stages into it as well, I think, something like that. So like... You just get so many rewards so quick, and especially if you're like a new player, it's just so good. It's actually so much value. It's insane.
Yeah, I think the cosmetic things too. Cosmetics to me is not really what I care about. It's the keys to me. The keys is the thing that I love the most about the journey. But I think the cosmetics are fantastic too. We all know, at least one of the reasons I stuck to the game so much was because of just the art style. I think the art in Gwent is bar none to a lot of games. And I think with the avatars and stuff they give you with the journey, it's just kind of like icing on the cake, I guess you could say. I mean, come on, Geralt with the backwards hat with flames going around him. I mean, mm-hmm. With the gold chain. I mean, that's it.
What I like to do is I like to wait till everybody's bored of the cosmetics before I throw them on, so it doesn't feel like every single game I play is against me, them, like a, you know, same leader skin and all that. So I haven't really tried the new Alzer stuff yet.
Yeah.
Alzer's pretty cool, I will say. Alzer's pretty cool. I totally skipped, like, Geralt and Ciri. I still haven't played much with them. But Alzer? He finally got me off of Gaunter.
So I'm being asked in chat to time you out, Snow. And if I time you out, I will be sub too.
Don't worry, I got my answer to Rashid right now.
Capitalism or... You know,
just... Hey, we were talking about that full-time option, you know. This is that one step
forward. That's one step closer to giving the middle finger to... anyways.
He's actually considering...
He keeps hanging me on. No, but I mean, I'll say about the patch, one of the things, I don't know if it's if I'm being like the sourpuss, the 75-year-old grandpa on the porch bitching and moaning about everything that happens. I wasn't happy. I didn't see meta changes I think that should have happened. I felt it was very... They're leaving things unbalanced, in my opinion. Am I just... See, he just subscribed, so do I have to do it now?
I think if there was a time for them to not give us a balance patch, I do think this was the month to do it, because we are actually in a decently balanced meta where, like, everything, bar Nilfgaard, has something that you can play. And most factions have more than one thing as well. Think Skoya, Syndicate, and maybe even Monsters if you want to count Carapace in that list. Like, there are multiple different ways to play a lot of things, and so there's not much that's actually too out of the way that needed balancing, again, outside of Nilfgaard, which we know pretty much just needs a straight rework, period.
Yeah, the entire faction does need some love.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to say, maybe this is like obviously like a noob take, but for me, Thrive Monsters is just, it's just so like, it's just so annoying to play against, man. I feel like they can just slam the board so much. And just some of the, what is that? Is it the one with the armor that has Thrive that sends out two? It's just so much value. Like that card, I just feel is really, really good. I think it's because I'm a huge Syndicate fan, so I play Congregate and Hidden Cash quite a bit. So maybe they struggle in that matchup, but I think Monster Thrive needs to just get, I don't know, just get tuned a little bit maybe, just personally. That's just my opinion.
Do you think, and I'm not trying to like say anything here, like, to be insulting or anything, so please don't, but do you think the concept of people feeling Thrive is overpowered is more for like people just don't know how to deal with it, or do you think, because in my opinion, Thrive is all monsters have.
Okay.
Unless you're talking about Death Wish, right? Now, I could be wrong, so I'm not trying to say that you're wrong, but I think Thrive, it's an easier mechanic to deal with because you don't really answer Thrive, right? You just kind of, I mean, monsters don't answer other people's cards for the most part. It's more of how many points can I throw on the board as fast as I can. It's not as much reacting to your player.
I think it's obviously, if you have Tor removal, you can handle it quite well. But when I'm playing, I guess, Congregate, I don't have, like, the, you know, I don't have the neutral cards that have that give me that Tor removal, which is, yeah, I guess that's a fair point, to be honest. I feel like if you have Tor removal, you can handle it a little bit. So, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Just easy. Run Yurden and you're fine.
Well, every deck.
Yes.
Yeah, every Yurden deck's going to have its matchup, right?
That's true. Every deck's going to have its... I think that's really what it comes down to. And I think when you make a good point with Thrive is that, you know, Gwen is all about answering your opponent's engines, right? And when you have Thrive, and it's a lot of Thrive, that's a lot of engines to deal with. And then people in Jigalar, like we're talking about, I think that's hands down the best bronze in the game. I don't think. I mean,
no question.
No, there was squirrel. See? Second best card in the game. No, but yeah. When you talk about Dragalarva, I mean, they made a card in Nilfgaard to deal with Dragalarva. I mean, it's Mage Infiltrator, right? So, I mean, there's probably other couple cards, but I think, you know, you make a good point there. I don't. How would you balance that card, though? You really can't.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that the community would like to see is that it goes
a provisional cost increase. Yeah, I could see that
because it is the best bronze card in the game. Like you can't really balance that. It's a one. It's a two or one art. You know, one power, two armor. Like, what? You can't give it more power and less armor. That just doesn't make sense.
If they made it six provision and added one extra armor, that would be kind of fair. The big shake. <Yeah. you know? laughs> I mean, for a balance perspective, I like the way it is.
I think it should drop third one, in my opinion.
Or here's the thing you could do that could really slow out that could really slow down the drive curve is turn it into a bonded effect.
Oh.
Yeah, but then how are you going to provision a one power, two armor card for four that doesn't, like, that's just so overpriced? Like,
I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, like, everybody wants something to happen, but, like, it's not going to happen, you know? There's a whole laundry list full of issues that the game could have that people would want fixed, but it's not going to happen because the developers obviously have final say.
Well, I think in my opinion, I think Monsters is probably one of the most balanced factions, in my opinion. I think they're not like so overpowered, but they're not like super underpowered. There's multiple things that they can do. They're the point slammers, but yeah, they have Death Wish, Death Blow, and Thrive as their main mechanics. But like when you see someone like Nilfgaard, they pretty have Masquerade Spy deck. which is starting to come back even more. That was something that was built, you know, Mastermere, right? That was built in Mastermere. And then you have Mill, I'm hearing, is really coming back too. And Mill was driving people absolutely up the wall. What do you say, Sound? I mean, you were top 200. I mean, what do you feel about Nilfgaard? Do you think they're so underpowered they're unplayable? Or do you think it's just Grandpa in the chair 75 just complain?
They are for sure the weakest faction. I don't think anybody's going to contest that fact. If anything, I think that Monsters would be the only one that might be able to contest it. But, I mean, when we look at Hunger, like, there's no way that we're going to be validly making that argument. Like, it's just the faction as a whole, like, for both Monsters and Nilfgaard are actually quite underwhelming, in my opinion. But that being said, I don't think that Nilfgaard is 100% unplayable. I think it is mostly a tournament faction right now. It's quite ironic, though, because we didn't see any Nilfgaard at all at the Open. Like, zero Nilfgaard. I don't think we saw much Monsters either, though. So, something to be said for that.
Yeah, I don't think there's a monster.
We did
either.
See Monsters, but in the form of Kelly. And Kelly
oh,
decks,
yeah, there
like,
were some Kelly decks, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's the most fun deck to play, though. I mean, I was losing constantly with that deck, but I was laughing the entire time, you know, because it was just like, I don't know. Because I was more interested about having fun than who knows. But
I mean, so like basically, if we want to look at it by faction, I mean, we all know Skellige always seems to get favoritism.
Yeah.
You know, we also want to see Scoia'tael keep shining. Obviously, their Deadeye deck is pretty much what they have for Swarm, and then they have their Precision Strike, which is their control heavy deck that was played so much at the Open. It seemed like every player was running it. Mm-hmm. So we know that that deck has pretty much every answer a deck could have in terms of removal and control. But outside of a tournament format, it's a very terrible deck to play on ladder.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I do we think... So, like, a couple seasons ago, people were saying the same thing about, like, Syndicate being underpowered. I think that was more of just people not understanding how to play Syndicate. Unless, you know, I'm wrong about that, but... It seemed like people thought the same thing about Syndicate.
Yeah, because, I mean, Syndicate had the option to just go Point Slam with, you know, or Engine Swarm with Hidden Cash, right? Or Passiflora. And then Passiflora got changed up in terms of chapters. You know, now you get the coins first, and then you get the Seductress last. And then, you know, with Congregate getting the Sacred Flame buff, and, you know, all those other cards that came along with them, now they actually have two viable options to play. And I think that's what you're seeing the most in the ladder is Congregate, I believe.
Yeah. So we're talking about ladder. We're talking about, you know, the decks we think are working the best. You know, Poizesto, what are you seeing? What are you playing as you try to climb up? You know, what deck are you kind of working with?
So it's pretty funny. So right now for me, it's definitely Congregate because the big issue right now with... Hidden Cash is that there's so much Tor removal right now. Becca's Rock Slide, Heat Wave. So it's like, if you go wide, it's so much harder to get punished. And say if they're focusing like your Fallen Knight and things like that, you still got so many other engines. You got Intimidate engines with Horsen Jr. Novigradian Justice is just so much value. Like definitely if you're climbing with... the Syndicate faction, I would definitely say Fire Swarm is the way to go. That's what I've been using.
Yeah. I mean, do you see it's like it works really well in the lower ranks, or where are you currently ranked at?
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty.
Bro, like people don't even understand Veil, so it's like they'll try and like poison the Fallen Knight and stuff, and it's just like they don't know how to deal with it, honestly. So. Yeah. Currently, right now, I'm rank 11. I started like on the reset. I think I started at 16 or something. So I've been slowly climbing up. Yes, definitely a lot of fun, man. It's such a once you get your head around the coins, and to be honest, Hidden Cash is more coin management. Like Fire Sworn, you can just flood the board and you're fine. Honestly, you don't really have to manage the coins as much. So it's pretty fun.
No,
yeah, it's. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're totally fine. Boys Esto is totally right. Like, for anybody who's listening out there who wants to try Syndicate but isn't sure how and, like, you're scared of the coin mechanic, go Swarm. Like, you really don't interact with the coins at all. And you get your feet wet with it because Helvede does have a fee and such like that. So you are dealing with coins, but at a very minimal amount, you can get away with not totally understanding coins and still play Congregate well.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the big things with Syndicate, why people don't play it as much, is they're just scared of the whole, like, you know, coin factor. It's just so different than any other faction. But I think, yeah, I think that's probably why they introduced Firestorm so much, was that they wanted to kind of bring a little bit more people into Syndicate. But
I also noticed for a new player who just starts the game, they don't allow you to pick Syndicate as, like, one of your starting factions when you get the starter decks. So if they introduce that, then maybe more people would be inclined to choosing them first, or, you know, getting that because they like the concept of it, right?
I didn't know that. That's a good point. I think
we just made a new account for my buddy Sam about a month ago, and I noticed that there was only the big five instead of six. Yep.
I think that's because Syndicate came a faction or like several expansions after the base set. And so the game starts you with the base set, and you don't have anything from Syndicate because that came out in the Novigrad expansion, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but I mean, it's something that they could basically integrate, right?
Yeah, they should.
So, like, another thing I wanted to touch on, too, is that starting off in the game, when it comes to, the lower ranks, I'm noticing that people are net decking like an insane amount. Like, I was watching a guy play and he was ranked 24, 23, something like that. And he was going against a full blown like shield wall meta deck. And I was like, what is this? Like, since when did rank 23 become like such a hard rank to get by? Because he was running into people running these meta net decks, people who are literally dropping like 10, 15 bucks, 20 tops, making a meta deck, and then they're playing against them in these high ranks, but they don't really know how to fully play them.
Oh my gosh, when Sam started his account last month, we dropped 30 bucks, and it was like John Natalis into Amphibious into a frigate.
Yeah.
And a Stranger comes down. Yeah. Selkirk, you know? And people were putting like, oh, Geralt for the big play, and then the bear, that's six power.
Yeah, it's so funny, because like when you're in the lower ranks, you just always know that last card is Geralt. Like, you know, when you get used to the starter decks, it's like, oh yeah, that's a Geralt, and you can always just like play around it. It's honestly pretty funny.
I was climbing at the end of, I forgot what season it was, and people started playing Geralt. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I'm in the 20s. Like, why are people playing this card? Like,
oh, I know. I had that exact same thought. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know why.
Do you know what it is? I feel like it's this whole thing with people coming back from the beta. Because, like, you have so many resources. Like, even for me personally, I had so many resources. I was like, right, you know what? I've kind of got my grasp on basics of deck building and stuff like that, but I want to take it to the next level. I want to try and get a little bit better. So, yeah, people will just go online, start looking up resources. And, yeah, honestly, it's honestly quite common to just find, like, proper meta decks everywhere. There's so many Thrives, there's so many Shield Wards, like, even in the mid-15s and stuff, it's pretty... But I like your point. It's just, like, a lot of them don't really know how to pilot them. So, like, they commit so many engines early on, and I just, like, pass, and they've used so many engines in the first round, and it's like, well, what do you do against my Swarm now? You can't really answer this since you've used all your stuff in the first round, so...
100%. And when it comes to decks on the internet, you have no idea who made the deck, right? What are their credentials in the game? How do they play the deck? I find there's not often examples. It's just a list, and someone writes, like, this and that win rate, and then everybody starts playing the same damn thing, right? So, again, you know, you have to know how to play it and what they had in mind when they made it in order to be able to succeed with it, right?
Yeah,
it's actually putting the clickbait title saying 88% win rate.
506-2, you know, like...
Guilty.
Impregnate all women when I play it. No, but I think with piloting decks, I mean, that's... There's decks that are really difficult to play. There's decks that are going to be so reliant on RNG or just reliant on how your opponent's playing. And then there's decks like, you know, monster point slam decks, you know, that are just... just throw the cards down, you know? So, and that's, I've kind of moved back and forth. So when I start first playing Gwen, I was meta decking, or I was net decking like crazy. I was building what decks were at the very top and getting my way here and there. And then I kind of got burned out with it and realized I was having a lot more fun just kind of crafting decks and trying to figure out, like, I'm trying to bring like the whole vampire thing back, and it's like it works sometimes and it doesn't sometimes. And it's kind of fun going through those decks and being like, well, let me try to find a card that's going to fix it. And not exactly take somebody else's deck that's super popular and be like, oh, I'm just going to play this and just swap a card out. You know, so it's interesting to see that lower ranks are playing those decks so much more than they used to. I think that's actually really interesting.
100%. And I think if you practice making your own decks, you're able to sort of understand maybe what potential changes could be more effective than what, you know, is available on the internet, right? With the monster list I was using last season, I noticed everybody was using just the regular old Geralt, and I decided to throw in the Yurden instead, and it picked up a lot of momentum. So it's those little things, right? You kind of compare what the deck online says compared to the current meta and what people are doing.
Well, I think you don't understand how, like, engines and everything plays out, too. Like, if you stick yourself to, you know, you're net decking and you're making one or two decks, you're sticking with one or two factions, and you're just grinding your way up and you learn that deck, and then you see people playing other cards and you're like, what the hell is that card? Like, what are they going to set up? And then you have no idea what they set up. They set it up, they beat you, and you're like, I don't even know what even happened. You know, and I think when you start getting out of that realm of net decking and making your own stuff, you can kind of see, oh, wow, this card does this. This card would work great. You know, things like that. So
that's my That's the thing I noticed, too. Like, when they introduced this new draft mode, the replacement for Arena, it gives you, okay, let's give you a leader ability right off the start, like normal. And then it'll pull up three topics of cards that you want to play, like the type of mechanic that they bring into the game. You click on one, and then it'll start suggesting you other mechanics within that faction or similar to that card. Like, I think I picked Alchemy, and then it threw me into, like, a triple Crow Mother deck. It was nuts. So, like, I mean, Draft is kind of busted with that, but, like, I could see how why they were saying they wanted to make Draft more for the new player community. It basically, in a sense, you know, introduce them to the game, show them, okay, these are what the cards that go with this type of card. Yeah, we're giving you more than, you know, what you're allowed in the real game, but it just makes sense, you know, this is the card that you want to run with these decks.
Yeah. I mean, what, I'd be interested to see what happens with Draft. I hope, or Arena, whatever they're called, I hope that it takes off, because I think that can be a really great part of the game. You look at a game, and I hate to compare it, but you look at a game like Hearthstone, that's like the central, not the central part, but it's a big part of that game, or at least was back in the day, you know, with Arena and Gwen. It's just, you don't really see anybody really play it. So I'm hoping it kind of takes off for sure.
I feel like one of the reasons why is that this game is very generous, right? If you look at some of these other card games, I've dabbled a little bit in Hearthstone, I've played Runeterra quite a bit, actually. The resource grind is kind of long and kind of arduous, but with the whole key system in this game, you get so many resources if you just play, right? So normally, like, drafts and arena type game modes are there to kind of help with the resource grind. Like in Runeterra, their arena gives you quite a lot of rewards if you get a lot of wins in it, which is one of the reasons why it's pretty competitive, right? And funnily enough, like, when I tried it once just to see how it is, it's actually very similar to Runeterra. Like, it's actually really similar how it works. Like, I don't really want to kind of, like, start mixing two games together, but the general system of kind of choosing a leader ability and then, yeah, giving you cards that kind of work is very similar to that system. Yeah, it's quite interesting, actually, because I do want to see it do well, but I just don't think... If you're a player that plays the game a lot, what is the reason other than just for it to be fun and challenging? Because you get so many rewards anyway, right?
Actually, I don't think you get any rewards currently as of right now. I think they turned those off.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, you get no rewards from Draft Mode right now, which is part of the reason why people are already starting to, like, abandon it. And it's day two.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point you bring up about, you know, Arena, is that maybe it wasn't rewarding enough. And, you know, when you're playing in normal ranked mode and you're grinding for keys, whatever it may be, you know, why would you spend time in Arena if it's not crazy rewarding? What about the idea? Is it might be a stupid idea, it just came up in my head, and a lot of stupid ideas just pop up in my head. But what happens if they placed specific cards only obtainable through Arena behind that? Like maybe something that could get you a competitive advantage that you would have to grind for. Something you could not, you know, scrap or purchase, whatever it may be. Like make Arena people want to like really play it. Like if I play Arena and I reach this many wins or this much of a grind, I can unlock a card or something that's going to give me an advantage in a game. Does that sound crazy? Am I overthinking this? It's crazy.
I'll mute myself. Present the game.
I mean, first and foremost, like, how do you make sure that the card is actually like worthwhile for people to grind for? Because I mean, look at Devotion. Like, half of the Devotion cards aren't even good or particularly playable. Like, and there's no payoff for doing it. Like, why would I go like into draft mode in like a similar sort of mentality? You know what I'm saying? Like, the card has to be good. Why would you change the whole like philosophy of the game? You know, like, why do I suddenly have to grind for a specific card when I can just craft anything else that I would ever want to, you know?
I think it would be good if they did exclusive cosmetics. Because I do like seeing the cosmetics and the art is what kind of makes this game shine a little bit more than other card games. And I feel like if there was cool little trinkets, cool little animations, only if you get a certain amount of wins. Even, do you know what, like, so you know how every leader, like every new journey, they've added like a new thing, like to customize them. What if they did like a new slot that you can only get from playing with that certain leader in Arena or something like that, and it's only equipable for a certain amount of wins? I feel like cosmetics would be the way forward as a reward, because the reward system in this game is already so good, so I feel like it's the only thing they can do, honestly. I don't really know anything else that I would try and play it for.
And something that doesn't punish the people who don't want to play it regardless, right?
Yeah, I think that's a good point you guys bring up, right? Like, you don't want to change the mechanics of the game, right? You don't want to punish people for not wanting to play a certain mode. And I think Possessa makes a great point. Make it cosmetics. Like, you look at games like World of Warcraft, right? Like, mounts. You know, people have to grind those mounts, and those mounts are so, you know, well-known, and not a lot of people have that mount. So if you're using it, people are like, oh, shit, he has that mount. You know, that he had to grind for that. So, that's a good point. You know, maybe they could put cosmetics behind it, but maybe some people are like, who gives a shit about cosmetics? You know, so that's what it kind of comes into. I don't know.
Like I said, I think there's something that's really rewarding right now in this journey that they've never done before. Is it's select tiers. I'm looking at it right now. At the first, it's the first card you get at tier 22. They give you a premium Draco Turtle. I mean, it's a set card. Like, everybody else is getting this card as well. And then tier 44, they're giving you a premium Damien for Nilfgaard. It seems to be one of every faction. Tier 53, they're giving you a premium Forest Protector. 62, a Philip of Blind Fury. And 76, they're giving you a premium Yiggern. Like, this is their way of saying, hey, okay, we know that you guys want to use some cards that you don't want to spend for, so we'll give them to you in Journey. I think that's pretty neat. So, like, I mean, not only is Journey giving us a massive amount of keys, but it's also giving us premium cards that are legendaries, that are some of the most key cards in their respective factions.
Yeah, it's pretty nice for that. You know, when you got an opponent that has all the effects, you're like, oh, I'm a bit shook now. This guy, got all the drip, man. Like, I gotta be careful.
Spender.
Yeah.
Like we talk about, the stripes on a car make it go faster. The lights in your computer make it run faster, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
That's what it's all about. So we're coming up on 33, 34 minutes. What do you guys got? Little closing comments. We try to keep it under 40 minutes. So if you want to listen on your way to work or whatever it may be, you don't feel like, oh shit, I'm going to have to pause this and come back later. So what do you guys got? Great.
So what do we got? So we know for a fact that this season wasn't what we thought it would be in terms of balances. But it seems like they have heard the community. You see, as sad as I like to say it, you see social media, Reddit, Twitter, all this stuff about people wanting these changes. And some of them have come into the game, albeit just a tad different. But I think, like, the game is going to go in a way where, with this new expansion that comes probably next month, since they did say we were going to get two every year going forward, this next expansion may not introduce the type of cards that you were used to seeing, like in Master Mirror, you know, or any of the other previous factions that introduced new cards to the game. Who knows? I mean, I'm just speculating, but, like, I don't think we'll see something like Oniromancy or whatever, you know, that comes to the game that's going to totally break the game in terms of playability.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be... Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Personally, for me, I just kind of hope they bring, like, some new archetype, which, of course, they will with the new expansion, but maybe expand on an existing type of class. Like, I've been hearing a lot of people thinking about mages. I've always thought the mages in the Witcher series are really cool, so maybe they could do something with that. Or yeah, just some of the existing classes in the game that just don't really have that much playability right now would be cool to expand on.
It's kind of what I was getting into, really. I think there's potential with the mages, with the spying, with, you know, the bounty for Syndicate. There's tons of different things they could do a bit better. Maybe even a little bit more into the symbiosis play and get a bit creative with it. I feel like a lot of types have been either ignored or they have died out, like Harmony, for example.
Oh yeah, Harmony needs some serious buffs at this point. But I don't know that it needs more cards. I think just the existing ones need buffing. But that's just me. Yeah, I would fully expect a few new archetypes to be coming out in the next expansion. I think Northern Realms Mages is a big one that we're likely to be getting.
Yep.
There was something else that I had in mind.
Rumors about Witchers, too. It's a possibility.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of rumors about Witchers. I also think that they're probably going to actually expand on some of the keywords from this last expansion. So, like, maybe one or two more devotion cards, you know, to make that a little bit more of a thing. And maybe a few more echo cards, like a neutral echo card or stuff like that. Like, I think they are actually going to expand on a few of the keywords introduced here.
Yeah. So if you guys, I don't really have anything. I'm excited to see kind of how it plays out. I'm excited to kind of get back into it. You know, we've got a few games Unspoken that have been pushed back a little bit, so it opens up a little bit more room for some Gwent and all that good stuff. So if anyone want to promote their channels, this is your time to promote your channels, man. Go ahead, talk about yourself.
I'll let you go first. Okay. All right, here we go. Qcento01 on Twitch. I stream 4 days a week. I do about one or two surprise days a week. We don't really take many days off. And I started doing YouTube as well, so you could check me out on YouTube. It's Qcento. And we'll leave it there, you know. I talk a lot.
We watched this guy get to pro in one day. He played way too many matches that the average player should play, by the way.
I ran 37 games yesterday and got to pro. I'm 25 and... 25 and 12 records so far. It's not too bad, but I'm taking the day off because we're back tomorrow.
If you give me like 30 seconds, I'll be able to tell you how many games I've played in the past 48 hours.
Let's see.
Oh boy.
I'm going to say it's about 100 already.
I'm going to say it's over that.
You're probably not wrong.
All the cards started to look the same, like the same orange background and all the sort of painted type drawings. I was like...
Well, yeah, because you literally played Congregate the entire time.
Syndicate gang, baby. Syndicate gang, let's go.
Syndicate, here it comes.
Like, I think eventually, if I start playing with just one faction and just push that one faction, it'll just definitely just be
Skeletor. You have to. That's how you get in the groove with it, right? You can't be hopping around if you're trying to get into pro. You just have to stick to it and like make it good. But literally, people at the end were like, you're misplaying, and I'm like, I didn't even see the card in my hand, man. Like, they all just sort of blurred into one big smear. So,
For the record, I have played 77 games already this season.
Oh, okay.
Holy crap.
I thought it was more.
You know, for the record, I've only played two.
Okay.
I think I've played.
Were those two at 6 a.m.?
Yes. Yeah, I lost both of them and I raged. I'm like, right, fuck this. I'm never playing ranked again. I'm just going to stick in draft mode.
I think I played.
Yo, just gatekeep rank 29.
Hey, I don't want to hear about rank. I don't want to hear about gatekeep rank 29. This guy was freaking out when the podcast or when the patch was dropping, and we were waiting for a draft. And when it finally hit, he's like, "Bro, I'm rank 29. I'm rank 29." I'm like, "No, you're not." And he actually sent me a screenshot of his thing, and it said he was 29 with no mosaic tiles.
Oh, it said I was 30. It just showed 30. It was the infantry picture, and I was like, "What is this crap, man?"
He's like, I better not have lost all my rank. I'm gonna be so pissed.
It's the poor fucking inventory, you know, avatar. You know, like, how do you feel about that?
I thought about making a Smurf account for the content and going from 30 to pro in 1 month.
You should only bronzes.
It's just too much in real life dollars to like hype it up to a point where I'd get excited. Yeah. At this point, you know.
Yo, set the challenge for yourself: 30 to pro in 1 day. You won't. 24-hour stream. That's your challenge right there.
You can't. Like, just all the tutorials and nonsense at the beginning, it would take you, like, 6 hours to get to rank 25.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
30 to pro in a month isn't hard. Yeah, I think that, too. I think, but doing it in 24 hours, that's...
I could do it in a week. Like, I would do a week for it with full games. And.
Yeah. I think I played 3 games. I think 2 of them are at work. And the only one, the one I lost was because a customer needed my help. And I was like, I'm busy. My employee looked at me and was like, you're playing Gwent. I'm like, all right, yeah, I guess so. Okay.
Well, did he really know you were playing Gwent?
Yeah, because they know how much I love Gwent. And I'm like, here, play these cards. And he just started playing cards. He actually almost won. And he just totally misplayed when I looked at the match history. But yeah, but not really going on here. I mean, this is the podcast, The Barkeeps of Redania. You can visit the website, thebarkeepsofredania.com. I'm trying to update it as much as I can, but it's just been crazy. But yeah, if you guys want to hang out with us here tomorrow, I'm going to be shooting for probably a subathon. We're going to see. We're going to give some games away. Going to have some fun. But make sure you check out Crucento's channel. Make sure you check out Ezra's channel as well. Some good fellow streamers putting out some good content. So guys, thank you so much for joining us. Till our next episode, I don't know what it's going to be about, but it'll be about something good. So you guys all have a great night. Everyone say goodbye.
Bye.
Peace.
Have a good night.